Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Follow us on Twitter at KAR Current State. This year, Kiwanis International celebrates its 100th birthday. Kiwanis was founded in 1915 in Detroit and became an international organization with the creation of the Kiwanis Club of Hamilton, Ontario, the following year. Now, since then, Kiwanis has grown to over 500,000 members worldwide, with about 6,000 here in Michigan. Sam Stahl is the author of the recent Michigan History Magazine article, Kiwanis International, It All Began in Detroit. WKAR's Peter Worf spoke with Sam by phone yesterday about a bit of Kiwanis history and its local roots.
Some of the folks who I interviewed were second and even third generation Kiwanians. It was almost a family tradition. I spoke to one guy whose father was actually present when the organization was founded. So that's basically a two-generation spread covering a century.
Yeah. Let's speak a little bit about Sue Petrazin, who is poised to become president of Kiwanis International. That passion is really carried on with her right here in our community.
After joining Circle K, I served as the governor of Michigan for Circle K, which did the same representation at the international level, and then served a year on the Circle K International Board. Was invited to join the East Lansing Club, who I knew because I had been a Circle K member here, and was invited to join their club and was actually the first female member of the East Lansing Club. So it's been pretty much all my life since 1977.
And I think she sort of demonstrates, I guess, the dogged persistence in that devotion, because when she became old enough to become a Kiwanian, you still couldn't be a Kiwanian if you were a woman.
Right.
There were high school programs, there were grade school programs, but when you wanted to go into Kiwanis itself, you ran into a brick wall. And she worked around the edges of the organization for a while. I think she sponsored the college club there at the
Michigan State University.
Michigan State. And finally, in the 80s, they opened up the organization to women, and she joined. I think it speaks to her persistence and her devotion to the group that she would have waited around for them that long.
Right.
And now, of course, she's the president, the incoming president.
Sure. What were some of the things that Kiwanis family members could do to participate before the Age of Enlightenment?
Well, Kiwanis has always had high school programs, even grade school programs, and college programs, all of which were open to women at basically from the beginning. It was only the varsity squad that was men only up until the 1980s. And I believe there was even a women's auxiliary for a while, or a Kiwanis, you know, the old women's auxiliary organizations that pretty much all of the men's clubs had back then. But as far as joining the actual Kiwanis Club, if you were a woman, I think it was not until the 1980s that you could actually do that. And basically all of the big male-oriented professional organizations, the walls came down about the same time.
Take us back to the early 1900s and this age of the fraternal organization and the genesis of Kiwanis. How did it fit in with that world?
Well, let's go back. Let's return to the days of yesteryear before there was Facebook or anything,
right,
any other way of getting in touch with people. They had this process called actually meeting people face-to-face. I mean, if you wanted a network, you had to go and meet with people. And this was the early 1900s. There were a lot of self-made men. There were a lot of industrialists, a lot of businesses. And, of course, they wanted to get together. Well, how do you do that? You form a fraternal organization. You form a business club. And Kiwanis was just one of many at the time. I think Rotary, which was established in Illinois, was the first or the first big one. But then there were just literally tens and hundreds of them that came along over the years. Kiwanis obviously was one of the biggest. And it started out as a straight-up business organization. Let's get together, let's have meetings once a month, once a week, and just do some deals. I mean, they were very straightforward about that, and it was only a couple of years later that the membership said, you know what, let's maybe do some community service. Let's do that rather than just have this be an old boy network that where we sit around and make deals and smoke cigars.
Right. There's an evolution from a place where, as you said, to have self-made businessmen get some deals together, or just a place to commiserate, evolve into a service organization. Why do you think that happened?
What happened was, I mean, this was a big deal at the beginning of Kiwanis, because when the organization was first founded, the man who founded it did it specifically as a business-only organization. We are not having some sort of public service component. We are here to do deals. And within a couple of years, there was a palace coup, and this guy walked away from the Michigan organization because they basically said, we're going to do public service. We want to be involved in the community. We want to have these things happen. You know, we think we can make a difference. And this was just incompatible. I think that originally the Detroit Club had about 200 members, and about more than half of them simply walked away when they made this change. But it was a change that, I guess, set Kiwanis up for the growth that they've enjoyed, because it was after they made this change that the group became international in scope. They started adding members, you know, by the tens of thousands over the decades. So this was the winning formula. It wasn't just all altruism. I mean, this was the winning formula that made Kiwanis a big organization.
This is Peter Worf for Current State. I'm speaking with Sam Stahl. He's the author of a recent Michigan History Magazine article entitled Kiwanis International, It All Began in Detroit. As we talk about the organization founded here in Michigan and its 100th anniversary. You mentioned also, Sam, some of the ideas of charitable work. One of those was a 5,000-acre forest, and another was a tuberculosis sanitarium. I mean, these were some big projects that Kiwanis got involved with early on.
Well, these were some big-deal people who were involved. It's hard to imagine, but there was a time when you weren't anybody unless you were a member of a Kiwanis or one of the other major fraternal organizations.
Right.
You know, there was a time when these lunch meetings for the Detroit Club, you know, there'd be 200 people there for lunch meetings. You'd have the mayor. You'd have major figures from all the local industrial enterprises. These were people who could get stuff done on a grand scale. And that's why you would see projects like this. And those were just a couple of things that I mentioned. I mean, this was a constant thing. You had all the movers and shakers together in one room, and so if you wanted to do something, you could get five guys together at a table and get it all worked out.
You also suggest that Kiwanis is or was dominated more by major business figures, auto industry, heavy hitters here in Michigan and the like, but now a growing commitment to those who are interested in the volunteer mission. How has that evolution happened in, say, the last decade?
It used to be that one of the ways corporations did community outreach back in the 40s and 30s, before it was even known as community outreach, was by having their top executives join service clubs. And they would pay their dues. They would not worry about the fact that they vanished once a week to go to lunch meetings. They would cover the expense of the lunch. And, of course, that's changed. Companies don't do that anymore, or mostly don't do that anymore. They don't cover the expenses of joining a club. They don't cover dues and things like that. And they found other outlets as far as, you know, ways to do community service that maybe don't necessarily include a group like Kiwanis. But at the same time, you see more people who are interested in, you know, helping kids or helping their communities who look at a group like Kiwanis and think, I want to do that. And maybe they're not the business heavy hitters that you used to see 50 years ago, but they are perhaps, you know, just as committed or more committed to doing community service. So that's kind of the shift we've seen.
More than 500,000 members worldwide, about 6,000 here in Michigan. Kiwanis International celebrates 100 years. The article is entitled Kiwanis International, It All Began in Detroit. It's from a recent Michigan History Magazine article by Sam Stahl. Sam, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
For Current State, this is Peter Worf.